You are the man now. Dog, 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 you are the man now. Dog.
Shalom. Aloha. Fall is upon us, and that means, it's pumpkin spice season. It's pumpkin season. It's squash season. It's ghost season. It's man dog season. Every season. I'm Dan Lippert. I'm with Ryan Rosenberg. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, Dan, what's happening? It's also cornucopia season, almost. I would say you round up the gourds, which is what we're doing right now. And then as soon as November hits, you put them in the cornucopia.
And then once you have the gourds rounded up, you start collecting the would you call them ingredients of the cornucopia? The stuffings?
Yeah, what else goes in there? A couple apples.
Uh-huh. You know, we never did a cornucopia. I don't know if those are common.
I just recognize it from, like, you know, pictures of Thanksgiving, I guess.
It's next to the turkey in the picture.
Yeah. I wonder what a cornucopia really its first intended use was. They just had like a big basket that looked like an open whale's mouth. That's what it looks like.
Yeah, I mean, corn is in the word, so maybe...
There's some corn in there. There's probably some copias.
There's probably a couple copias. damn, I don't know what cornucopias come from. But we do know it's that fall feeling.
That's right. It is fall. It is October now, and we're back here on the Man Dog Pod with a classic big check-in.
The big check-in. Seasons-wise, I know there's no real reason to have favorites, but which ones do you have the fondest feelings for? I think fall and spring have pretty equal fondnesses for me, but fall has like a warmth to it. In the sense of bundling up and stuff.
Yes.
That crispiness is nice.
Yes. I would say winter is my least favorite. Mm-hmm. And then summer used to be the number one by far, but I still want to take it off. And now that's bad for my life.
Right.
Like you can't just have summer off when you're an adult like you did as a kid. And man, it's the greatest loss of my life. Mm-hmm. So I guess fall and spring would be tied because they're both to me transitional seasons.
Yeah, they're very transitional. Summer but is like them. Summer is like spring turned up, and winter is fall turned up, or something like
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm. Spring is like, ooh, I'm still wearing a sweater, but I may be trying my shorts out again.
Yeah,
you know, it's been a little too cold, and I'm excited to just be warm on top. And then fall is like, oh my God, I've been sweating all summer. I'm excited to put a little sweater on top.
Yeah.
So you're kind of coming in or coming out of sweater weather, which is nice.
They're both, it's good to think of seasons in relation to the sweater situation.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I haven't worn a sweater in years because we didn't go out last year during the winter. I don't even remember last winter. Was it cold?
No clue.
No clue.
No clue. It was the temperature of my room at my house.
Yeah. how sad. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, in that winter, like extra COVID-y. I was like, well, it's cold out and there's sort of COVID. Like, I'm not even going to go in my living room.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be in my room.
And it was the big push of like, hey, there's no hospital beds in December. Like, they're going to go away.
Right.
And so you were kind of. Mm-hmm. Well, we've been there. We remember it.
We've been there. We're happy to be where we are now, hopefully. How you feeling, Dan? How's your check-in vibe?
A little. I did the thing today where I just kind of loosely planned three things all around the same time, so none of them went in the calendar.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm kind of like, oh, fuck. Like,
I have to let at least two groups down.
Yeah, and just like really actually like settle these times and figure out what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I had just misread our emails back and forth last night, and so I didn't realize we were doing this till like 10:30 this morning, and I double-checked just to make sure and was like, We are recording. Oh, because you had put it in our shared calendar. And I was like, oh, maybe we are recording.
Yes, yes.
And so...
we have a shared calendar. That's right, guys. I'll tell you what. Get a shared calendar. If you and your buddies are doing stuff, nothing feels better than just being on the same page without having to ask. Throw it in there.
The big thing would be, you know, if we start putting in personal stuff that's not even about the show, just so we can know what's going on with each other, you know?
Of course, yeah.
I'd love to know about... I mean, are we talking about the big surgery?
Not yet, but it's coming. It's definitely coming. I mean, I would love to have any social engagements that weren't work right now. I don't know what's happened, but I've just totally dropped them all. You know what I mean? I just feel a little in over my head with, and it's not like I'm working 60 hours a week. It's just that it's all so like sporadically spread around, and it's I'm trying to balance home life and work life and just not having that extra social quadrant, you know?
Yeah, I hear you.
But I'm excited for a little social coming up. We will have already had it with when this comes out, but little backyard hang this week because we've a friend is in town.
Friend of the podcast, Jacob Womack. I don't know if friend he wants us discussing his travel plans, but he's in town.
Right.
And we're hanging out with him and a group of friends, so that'll be nice. But yeah, it's, you know, we have worked on and off in our own lives and with this podcast to like, try to regiment scheduling a little more so that's like I know these are my scheduling times so then I can really have a life outside of this but we've kind of dropped off on that for various reasons. It's hard, it's just hard to schedule stuff. I mean, who cares? It's just what
it's hard when you have multiple jobs and they're all
whenever
always being scheduled. Yes.
So it's been hard to it feels like you're always catching up, and it's hard to actually make social plans. It's like, I don't know. I might need to record. I'm waiting to hear back on these three different emails.
Right, because I don't want to be difficult with the work stuff because I've set up, like, chill time. It's like, sorry, chilling with friends. Can't, you know, and it's like, wow, like, fuck.
Well, the other six of us, this was the only time we could make, so not chill with friends tonight. So.
Yeah, exactly. But it should be like, no, chill with friends. That's important.
Yeah, I think it'd be nice. I pulled the old calendar out last week, which is always what I'm doing when I'm like feeling a little more productive, putting everything in the calendar. I've already dropped off on that, but I'm hoping to get back into the...
You schedule
out your week at the beginning of it, and every day you check it and just make sure you know what's ahead. Mm-hmm. And then you wake up not being like, Kevin!
Yeah, I have to get more regular with that because I'll do all that. I'll schedule it out and then be like, oh, I'm done.
Yeah,
I've scheduled it all. It's like, no, the whole point is that you use the schedule every day.
Yeah,
the schedule. You don't just schedule it once and go, good job, Rye. You maintain it. You continue to, you know, plan that way. And I'm like, good. I did all my planning for the month. I don't have to plan the rest of the month. It's like, no, you have to follow through on each of those plans. And it's a continual process, you know?
I can't stop thinking about this thing that I heard. And I have mentioned this Adam Driver interview a few times on the podcast, but he was talking about the like great directors that he likes working with, like Martin Scorsese or whoever, Spike Lee. And he was like, one thing about their movies and their work and working with them is it's consistent, which is really hard. It's really hard to maintain consistency and it takes discipline. And that is like a skill. And for whatever reason, that really struck me. And I never thought of that in the sense of like directors and creative people where it's like, yeah, they're just reliable. They'll just put something out and you know, they'll come to work and they'll do the good thing, whatever. And it made me think about my life. And when I settle for bare minimum instead of provide consistency for like my work life and the people around me.
Totally.
And
it's hard.
You want to like be better at that.
Yeah. I bet it's a lot easier when you have like a million people that work for you and a budget behind you rather than like doing everything yourself.
Yeah.
You know, we have like such different processes.
Right.
But absolutely such a thing to build towards.
Yeah. It's not a thing that you're suddenly good at.
Right.
It's like with all those resources, you can still, I'm sure there's a lot of directors who are just totally discombobulated and out of like impossible to work with, but.
A practicable skill for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
I gotta be more consistent to the way I treat myself too.
Right. Yeah. It's all goes to the same thing, right? It's like, I'm sure that the inconsistency bled through each part of my life.
Yeah.
For me, it's like my eating, my sleeping habits, my scheduling, and my, I don't know what else.
Yeah. know. Well, what are we going to do about this? I journaled for the first time last week in what I thought was 3 months, but what I looked and it was 358 days since the last time I journaled. And I was like, oh, Jesus.
So just under a year, technically.
Just under a year, mm-hmm. a week short of it. And I read the entry from a year. Well, first I wrote one. And then I read the one from a year ago, and it was fucking all the same stuff. Mm-hmm. It was like a little different flavor, but basically mm-hmm. all the same stuff. And it was like, I can't be in the same exact place a year later.
Right.
I can't be like focused on this. I guess I don't know.
Right.
It's what sometimes in therapy I'll be like, this is so boring because I'm talking about the same fucking shit. Like, why don't I just deal with it?
When am I going to actually confront this thing rather than just planning it for the rest of my life? Yeah.
And then this crazy therapist will be like, well, it's a slow process. You don't just fix everything all of a sudden. I'm like, so you're out of your mind, dude.
Yeah, what are you talking? How do you know? So what? Oh, because I pay you every week and you're the professional and I'm not?
Fine.
Okay, fine. Yeah, that is frustrating. It is incredibly frustrating how long it takes to change well-worn patterns. You know?
Yeah, it's absolutely. And they're all for me pointed to like parenting myself. Just being mm-hmm. like, hey, mm-hmm. there's nobody here to tell you. So you're going to have to start telling yourself.
Right. And the other part of that for me is like you also have to stop blaming everybody, but mostly yourself.
Right.
Like I am parenting myself poorly.
Yeah.
It's not that I'm not doing it. It's that true. I'm doing it and doing a poor job at it.
Yeah. I'm not giving myself like healthy parameters and conversations. Mm-hmm. And then when I break the whatever rules I haven't even communicated with myself, I'm mad.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard. That's why it's so hard, though, because it is, like, so all-encompassing.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, man, parents had a really hard job to do.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe it sometimes, because I can barely take care of myself sometimes. You know, I do okay, but it feels that way where it's like, fuck, right. whose job is this? Because it doesn't feel like mine, but it 100% is, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that stuff is hard, and then I get kind of scared that I'm, like, not going to be able to ever change.
Mm.
You know, I definitely have that stuff where I've read a journal entry, and it's been like, oh, same shit? Haven't moved an inch?
Right.
You know?
But hearing you say it makes me be like, well, I've known you for a long time, and you have changed in a lot of ways.
And, of course. And
you've worked hard on becoming a version of yourself that you feel like more in touch with yourself, and I see it happening. So
yeah, it's still incredibly unhappy about it.
Yeah,
but yeah, you did a lot last year too. You filmed your whole freaking first movie.
It's true,
which is
it
very
was
cool.
You important know, it's like, to like check back in with what I've actually done versus my perception of what I've done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting how that voice is for me. Almost wants to be critical no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but anyway, about just our mental health, you know, the big surgery for me, a little physical change.
Yes.
I'm definitely getting my nose bored out, hopefully in the next couple weeks.
This man is going to be, it's going to be the most rested man you've ever met in about a month.
Because if you're watching the video, you can literally see that I'm exhausted. My eyes are half closed and a little bit red for no reason. It's just the morning and I'm tired. I couldn't sleep last night from like 4 to 7. And so I like went to the couch. It's okay. I went to the couch and tried it out there and was just sort of like, it was like, oh, I'm really comfortable. I'm going to get back to sleep. And then like a little bit later, I realized that I'm like looking at my phone at like 5:50 and then it's 6:30 and then it's like 7. And I'm like, okay, I got to try the bed again, I guess, because this didn't work. Just like sitting up doing nothing. Anyway, I can't breathe out of my nose.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so curious to hear what I even sound like after this surge.
We are re-listening to old Teacher's Lounge episodes right now, and I am way more nasally in them. Before my my little mm-hmm. weekend of nose fixes and tonsil removals.
A little bit of plastic surgery.
I'm a little bit of the biff whiff zone some of it. A little bit of
that's how I
surgery.
Feel now. Even as I'm talking, I can like hear it coming out of my mouth, and then I can also feel it like resonating where there's stuff that can't come out of my nasal passage.
Right.
like there should be a second hole for both sound and air to escape from, but it is not. And yeah. So it feels like it's in a vacuum or something.
What is the name of the surgery you're getting? I got a septoplasty.
Okay. I don't even know.
I'm fixing a deviated septum.
Right. Something about sinus, and I definitely also have a deviated septum, so I think they're doing that. But then a little bit of like sinus, hopefully fixing. I'm not really sure. I trust the doctor, so.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We'll see.
But it shouldn't be a big deal. Outpatient. I go in, do it for a couple hours. I head home. I'm not too worried about it, but I am excited and I guess a little nervous. You know, it is a thing that I could have done longer ago, but it's also just sort of taken a while. So
it's tough to schedule a surgery and like do it. And for me, prepare yourself for the disappointment of it not working. Also being like, if it's not this, then what? Like,
right.
I definitely had that with that surgery because I fucked up my nose, like, not shortly after it. So,
well, we got in that famous fight where I beat the shit out of your nose.
Only my nose. You you pummeled my nose when I took your scone.
I was going to say cannoli.
Holy.
Which I don't eat either of those things, really. I don't care for either.
Really? Love them both. Yeah. I love a dessert with a little cream in it.
Here's
or
my
a lot
thing.
Of cream.
And a cannoli I've come around on, but it's still a little, I don't know what it is for me. But a scone, if they could just find a way to put any moisture into a scone, I'd be all about it. I guess what I'm saying is I want a muffin, you know?
Yes. I only like a good scone.
Yes, because the bad scones are like the opposite of pizza. We're like, most pizza's pretty good, and then really good pizza's amazing. I feel like most scones are pretty bad, and then good ones are great.
That is what it is.
If that makes sense.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel proud of that.
There's a scone at... I'm proud of that. That was really something. Mm-hmm.
That was smart. Good pat on the back. Smart.
Let's see. So that's the vibe going into October. I mean, we are 3 months out from the end of 2021.
Which is crazy. I still can't even believe when I really think back that we're so far in the future.
Yeah.
You're, like, I remember 2000. 2021 feels like a future year, you know?
Yeah.
It's weird how time just keeps on ticking.
Yeah. And it's not really, there's no hover cars. There's Tesla. Your Tesla can fart. It makes fart noises. So there's that.
I just saw a thing online the other day of like a modern Iron Man type suit where it has like a jetpack on your hands and on your back, and a guy like took off from a tiny boat and landed on the ship that he was trying to transfer place to place. And it's like, oh yeah, I guess like the government or the military is making this shit, you know?
Yeah, they're making it all. Yeah, I mean, for what? I have no idea. Right. Just got to spend the money. I don't know. Right. What war are we going to be fighting in Iron Man suits?
Right.
We were in fucking Afghanistan for 20 years and didn't accomplish anything. I mean, that's, right. You know, but...
yeah, it seems like putting a guy in a suit and then sending the guy over is not the direction we're moving. You know? But
it's,
I don't know.
It's just a lot of money. I don't know. It's people with more power and money than me making decisions that are so far from my life that I can't even comprehend
them. I have
no
idea. Yeah, it's so true. But what else are we looking forward to in October? I got a little vacation plan that I'm very excited about. My friend is getting married, and we're going to do a little location wedding, so that's going to be really fun.
Big grande live show. We haven't released tickets yet, but I mean, can we drop the news? It's not really a secret.
I feel like it's a little bit early to drop
it's
official
a little
news.
Early. Okay, I think I have a feeling by this the time this episode comes out. Well, but you know, I've bit myself in the ass, as they say.
Yes, I want to have a couple more things locked. I think because it is a live show, but I would say it's a good teaser. It's a good time to tease.
Yeah,
it's
late
a live
October.
Show with an asterisk.
Yes,
live show. You know what I mean? Asterisk. Live show with a little extra for us, and hopefully it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. So that's the October surprise. What else otherwise? Oh,
Teacher's Lounge season one probably just about ended. You know what I mean?
We're
so
just at
exciting
the end of that.
I'm excited to like do another season of that already, even though it it feels like we just finished and released this one.
Yeah.
But now we got a little bit of lead time. I'm excited to do another one.
Yeah, me too. They're so fun to do.
It was so fun. It was like, I didn't know how much I missed it. And I love doing Last Resort, and I love doing the minis and stuff, but there is something about going back to those characters that is just special.
Take a little time away to realize the absence makes the heart grow fonder. Mm-hmm.
But I also am excited to do some more minis. I mean, those minis are freaking fun.
Yeah, those might be. So those are exciting. Yeah, I don't know. That's the big, you know, I'm trying to decide what to do for the big birthday.
Mm-hmm.
I got that in November. Is that going to be an event? Is it going to be a little thing? Is it going to be a little backyard hang? Is it going to be a travel situation?
And we also have Big Grande live shows in Chicago in November.
Yes.
That I believe are sold out. But
so, yeah. So all that to say, we don't know what's going on in the future. We can only live for the now.
That's right. Do you like October? Are you a Halloween guy?
I've become a Halloween guy. I think I just kind of like the associations. Like, oh, Halloween movies means bundle, means, you know,
well, friends, we know what it means this year. Crisp. This is huge. This is the year that you have a Halloween movie.
Paranormal Activity, Next of Kin, October 29th.
Oh, my
Paramount
God.
Paramount Plus.
Oh, get I have
your
to
Paramount
get
Plus, folks. You wouldn't get just get ready. The Paranormal Activity. You'll be getting the Real World Road Rules Backlog, the challenge. You'll be getting the new seasons of the Real World. But yeah, it's a.
Can you buy this movie without Paramount Plus? Can you watch it on like Amazon or something?
Probably eventually, I hope. But no, I think they're making it inaccessible.
Exclusive release.
So exclusive is better than inaccessible, so that that people are driven to Paramount Plus.
Right, that makes sense. That's going to be exciting. Are you still thinking about doing the theater thing?
I am considering that. Yeah, we'll see. I have to. Yes, I'm definitely thinking about it. I just have to reach out and make it happen. But yeah, there's not. It doesn't look like there's going to be any sort of fun premiere or anything like that. And it's hard to like.
And would that be you and just your friends, or would you invite like the cast and everybody's friends?
Probably just me and friends. Yeah.
But you got a lot of friends that could fill a theater, you know, doing
fill a theater.
You know, we don't want to go full, probably. But
the friends you got, I could fill a theater, baby.
I could fill a theater, my man. I'm excited for that, man. That's going to be huge. I think that's going to change everything. I saw some folks, not really a spoiler, but I saw some production stills from this thing. And it is fucking cool. It looks cool.
You
look cool. You look like, this sounds weird, but because we're just like buddies, you know what I mean? And I think we're like young comedians, or we try to have that vibe. You look like an adult movie dude. You know what I mean?
Thank you.
Which is just like a new, to me, sort of a new way to see you a little bit. It's like, you're cool. You look really cool in it.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. I'm excited for people to see it. I think it'll be, I think it'll be really fun and scary. And like there's parts of me when the trailer came out, it was like, I'm not in it. But I think that's actually good. I think almost any, first of all, my stuff is like, relatively comedic, so you're not going to show that in the trailer.
That's how I felt. I was like bummed that I didn't see it, but also like, okay, good. They're like saving it.
Yeah, you know? It would have spoiled a lot of the fun stuff, and I'll just let's just leave it at that. You know,
let's just say comedic relief.
But yeah, I'm very excited for it. 100%. And it's such a. It was interesting. I was listening to David Chase, creator of The Sopranos, on the Mark Maron podcast, and he was talking about how. His whole life, he's just wanted a movie in theaters. And he's, like, made one that didn't, or what couple, whatever. But that's, like, this Many Saints of Newark, like, finally was going to be it. You know, like, even after Sopranos, he was like, I want to make movies now. I want to do that. I want to be in theaters. It's a different experience. And now that is coming out during COVID, and he's just, like, disappointed and whatever. Right. And it just made me think of, like, oh, yeah, if that's gone for him... It's like might be gone for all of us. Like it's just another way of like recalibrating our and grieving like the loss of the fantasy of what we thought our lives were going to be in the future.
Right.
It's like it may just be that we'll never be at a movie premiere in the way that we all thought we would in our lives.
I think it'll come back pretty quick. I think people are always going to want to gather in public. If it's anything like sports, people are fully fucking back.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's football stadiums full of 100,000 people outdoors, which outdoors, a little different, but not when you're sitting chair to chair like that. It's it's the same thing.
Yeah, you're still around strangers.
Yeah, 100,000 people screaming. Yeah, 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 absolutely. I think we're not that far from movies being pretty regular and maybe not like fully attended, but, you know, they're still happening right now.
Yeah.
You know, people are going and I want to go. I miss it. I miss like being in a theater with other people. And
so
I really like that like public yet anonymous thing where you're like there with a lot of people, but you don't have to talk to everybody. You know what I mean? It's like very affirming to me.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think I really like seeing movies alone for that reason. It's like you are around people and experiencing a thing together, but it's also your own personal experience with it.
I used to see a lot of movies alone during the day when I like worked at a restaurant early in my LA life, because I always worked at night. So I would, but I wasn't like that into comedy yet. So I didn't have that many friends all hanging out. So I would just go see daytime movies all the time. And it was great because of that same thing you're talking about.
Like,
there's something about like having that experience without your friend sitting right next to you. That's also cool. You know, not better, but also cool.
No, I have like really fond memories of the movies I've experienced like personally.
Mm-hmm.
Like that are slightly different than going with friends, where it's like you really are forced isn't the right word, but put in a position where it's like you have to interpret the experience on your own as yourself. And it's not, I'm so like people pleasery and so whatever that I'm like really like
same
if I can tell someone's not liking it, or if afterwards we're talking about it and people have an opinion, it'll like either affect my opinion or it'll make me upset that their opinion is like different than mine or something like that.
And if my friends are there, I want to talk to them, and it's and it's annoying. Like, I know you're not supposed to talk during the movie, but it's like, oh, like I don't want to like have a conversation,
right?
But I do want to be like, oh my god,
or you
like,
kind of have a conversation with laughs. That's how we do it. It's like, but yeah, that's the we wanted to try something on here. A little, I don't know if it's a segment. We're checking in with ourselves. But we want to check in with you. We get a lot of comments on the Patreon on separate videos, and we thought we would just like, we get some messages sometimes, emails, roll through them and just acknowledge them and talk about them if there's anything. And if y'all ever want to leave something on there that we can talk about on air, you just let us know, or just throw something on this video or any of the videos. Does that sound right to you, Ryan?
That does sound right.
Let's see. So I'm just going to go through. We'll just see if there's anything we want to. And then I see this comment from Lindsay Lohman. I love happy hour. I live in Northeast Ohio, surrounded by people that are very much not self-aware. And I can't tell you how nice it is to listen to people who talk about mental health and have no shame about being work in progress humans. As a fellow therapy goer, do you ever feel like you're in a cult? Lol. Because every conversation circles back to mental health, and I constantly recommend therapy to people.
I definitely felt that way in the beginning because early it was on. Such an eye-opening thing for me that it was like, do you guys know about this?
Yeah, same. I well, that's exactly it. And it's, if I have something that is like really positive and I feel this feeling of like, I wish I had done this 10 years ago, then I'll kind of like be like, hey, I wished I did this 10 years ago, you know?
Yeah, you want to pass that on and share it because you feel like it's helpful or happy or whatever.
Yeah, but also there's, you know, for something like that, for me at least, I think different times in my life I wouldn't have received information. It would have just been a different experience. Like, I was in the right place for it. I think you go when you're ready.
Right. And I also, the negative side of it was I was pretty preachy there for a second of like, if you're not in therapy, I don't know what to tell you. And it's like, well,
you just don't get it.
Well, just because you started something new doesn't mean everybody else is behind.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? But that's definitely how I like hoity-toity felt for a while.
Right.
Like, oh my God. I'm sitting here working on myself and all my friends are just still going to be annoying.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you're still annoying too, my man.
Here I am, absolutely perfect now.
Yeah.
And everybody else is in the Stone Ages.
Right, right, right.
Yeah. I still feel that way sometimes.
Absolutely.
But I maybe don't say it. I don't know. Maybe the. this was, let's see. Well, I'm curious what you're, if we want to talk about it, like where you're at with therapy now. It's been like 5-6 years.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about it sometimes. I feel only recently, like, I show up pretty authentically. Like, mm-hmm. I think in my own subconscious ways, yeah, I was still trying to get both, but yeah, in therapy. Like, I was still trying to get an A in uh-huh. my own grade of therapy. I was trying to, like, uh-huh. do it right. Right. And so, like, I would still get a lot out of it, but I don't think that I was fully trusting of my ability to, like, be authentic in front of her and feel, mm. like, okay with myself. And right. I think I'm, like, I can say thoughts authentically and have kind of, like, intellectual conversations authentically, but, like, not totally experience my feelings authentically. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yes. You're saying which one is true? Like, that you used to not be able to experience your feelings, and now you can?
Now I feel a little better at that. That's, mm-hmm. like, my current growth. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm at. Mm-hmm. I used to not be able to do that at all, and now I'm getting a little better.
Right.
Pouring right. coffee.
I feel like that's great. That's a beautiful thing. I mean, I feel like you and I are both pretty, like, not that we're super smart, but, like, intellectual or, like, intellectualized things, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? So that was a big hump to get over for me as well of, like, well, if I can explain it to you, it's not a problem for me. It's like, no, if you can explain it to you, it means it's time to, like, really dig in and feel what's going on.
Right.
Rather than just, well, I see it, but that was also a way for me to, like, not actually approach it, you know what I mean? To, like, keep it at arm's length or whatever, and I feel like I'm defending myself less in that way. Like, I didn't realize it, but it was very defensive, very, like, I'm not ready to actually make a change, but I know.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah.
Well, it's so, like, good. Everything is like, hey, speaking of cult, it's what people say about improv, which I kind of get annoyed by. But mm-hmm. It's like improv and the idea of game, whereas, like, if there's something that is endemic in your personality or in the way you behave in the world, no, for me, no matter what, it will keep finding ways to come out. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not some sort of, like, linear, I've slayed the beast of this part mm-hmm. of my existence. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, I think I've gotten a lot better at feeling my feelings and expressing them to friends. And then in, like, dating, it'll be like, oh shit, I'm not doing it at all here. Or it's coming mm-hmm. out in new ways. Or, mm-hmm. you know, and so you're mm-hmm. kind of always just looking for, or I'm always, there's always.
Yeah, you find, like, the wall of your comfort zone, and then yeah. you're like, oh, why is there that wall there? And yeah. then you, like, get past it a little bit, and you're like, oh, shit, a new wall.
You know? I like that image.
Yeah. I also feel like mine has changed in that I used to view things more linearly, and now I view it as, like, expanding in every direction.
Yeah.
You know? And it's, like, not necessarily about, like, climbing up a hill, but just, like, opening more or That's something nice. Like that, if that makes sense.
That's what the universe is doing.
But I think I wish I also was better at, like, being task-oriented and climbing up that hill as well.
Right.
You know, I like the openness, but I also wish that I could, like, keep a little bit more direction or forward progress.
Right.
You know what I mean? It feels like I've sacrificed a little bit of one for the other, and I'm excited to, like, recalibrate and do both at the same time. You know?
That makes sense. Like, as people who are quote unquote, like, I don't know, good thinkers, good students, it would be nice to be to use.
Why am I so
that.
Stuck if I'm so smart?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's eventually you get to that point where you're like, okay, well, it isn't just about the frustrating world around me.
Yeah.
What about me? Am I not doing that keeps me so frustrated?
Right.
Or doing or not doing, or what do I need to let go of, or, you know, whatever it is. Because it does feel really hard to feel like, intellectually, I'm really there, but emotionally, I'm, like, fucking frustrated.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, it would be cool to have those two things be a little bit more married, I think.
Yeah. I hear you. I feel you. I feel the same.
Well, moving on down to the old episode with Head Makes Hat Look Small with John Mackey, which was a really fun monoscene we did. I really love that. I think more monoscenes might be in order
mm-hmm.
here. Love seeing comedians in pastels. Snossage fingers made me LOL. Thank you, Rachel. We appreciate that.
Ryan and I almost feel like we're our cycles are matched up because now we're both in our black shirts.
Right.
We really... where we are, it feels like,
and
are in the same beat usually.
right.
We haven't seen each other for a minute.
Shout out to John Mackey, one of our best buds, coming on and just having a blast.
That was a great episode. Check it out.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of love for John and that app and Teacher's Lounge there. I'm on this big check-in from September 6th from last month, where that was shortly after the new Texas abortion law, I guess is what you would call it. And Molly Murphy commented on that. I'm an abortion researcher, and something a lot of people who care about abortion rights but don't know is that independent abortion clinics, meaning not Planned Parenthood and certainly not hospitals, which are increasingly owned by Catholic organizations, provide the majority of abortions in the U.S. A great way to support continued access to abortion is to contribute to, learn about, become a member of the Abortion Care Network, abortioncarenetwork.org. And then she says, through ACN, you can find your local abortion clinics and contribute directly to them if that's more your interest. Access is key. Policy is expensive, but supporting actual women getting the care they need is very satisfying if you care. And ACN facilitates that well. I don't
disclaimer,
work for ACN.
She doesn't work just for ACN.
Just a recommendation. Thanks, Molly. I appreciate that. It helps.
Much better said than our quick
preachiness. Yeah, and feel like right. something to do.
Right. That which is another therapy thing for me is like I get stuck in the sort of like complaining the woes of everything, and it's like, well, what action are you going to take to change this feeling that you have?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I really appreciate anybody who is going to put some action behind their feeling. It's something
right.
that I am working on, and thanks for the help.
And be like, yo, here's the thing. Check it out. It's on you now. Like, I've given you the tools. Go for it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think
for
of
sure.
this? I like this from Amy. We talked about who we could play or who could be our family members. And Amy says, Ryan could also play a brother or cousin of Charlie Day. I think that nailed you in a way that nobody has yet.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
I do too. Definitely. We both have those extreme explosions. We're both kind of low key, and then we get upset and it goes to 10 really fast.
Yeah.
Which I like. Yeah.
Yeah.
He is so funny.
But passionate about in a simple way. He's so funny.
Right.
Check out Ryan on today's Comedy Bang Bang. He played a cow farmer and was hilarious. Great job, Ryan.
Oh, appreciate it. A lot of fun. A lot of fun. Feel very lucky to get to do Comedy Bang Bang whenever it happens. Moving on down to Donald McRonald, another fun show with Lennon Parham and Tony Rodriguez. Thank you to Tanika for always chiming in and supporting. I think I see you on Twitter as well. We appreciate you listening, and Lennon Parham is my shiro, an incredible show. We agree. I mean, Lennon is just a genius, and so is Tony. But Lennon was like an early, early comedic influence at UCB for me. Like she sat in to like teach at the show for my 201 class, and just in that like 2 hours of being around her, she like shared some really good notes and made us all feel really comfortable in a way that was like, oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that, even though I had just been through an 8-week class, you know?
Yeah, and all of a sudden in like 2 hours, somebody like opened the door through.
Yeah, she just got an immediate, yes.
What would you say? It's like she communicates the way she improvises, just like really efficient and clear and straightforward, but like...
There's a really beautiful like gravitas to it where like she really treats you with respect.
Yes, yeah.
And like assumes that you understand and is not going to baby you, but isn't harsh. Do you know what I mean? Like it's like very direct in a way of like you can handle this. Really listen, you know, rather than like, well, it's going to take you years. I don't know what to tell you, which is like what a lot of, I think, coaches do is like, well, you're just going to have to spend the time. It's like, well, I'm here with you. Let's work on it right now, which I've always really appreciated. And I feel like her improv is the same way. It's like she's not beating around the bush. She's going to say what she has to say in the moment.
She's also on this like list of people that I still am not like fully able to be funny around because I still like put her on a bit of a pedestal of like wanting her to think I'm funny.
If you are 8 minutes older than me in comedy, you're on that list for me. Like, if you came before me, I'm intimidated until you give me the okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which is also something I would like to say goodbye to, if you will.
Yeah. This was, I'm jumping back. Zach Weiser on the check-in episode said, let me get that sweet, sweet professional equipment list. We talked about the equipment we've been able to get through doing the podcast. I mean, what's the list? We've got the Sony camera and the, so you have an A, I have an A6000.
I have the A6100.
And we both use, what's that, the Cam Link and an HDMI cable to plug that in.
Yeah,
and then
Cam Link 4K.
Like this, I have a AKG. What is this microphone? See, we don't even know here.
You have a pretty nice mic. Yours was like $180 or $200 P220, right?
AKG.
My mic was $30 on Amazon. It's called Zing U. It is, you know, the bare minimum, and it sounds great. Because I think the important thing is that we use the Scarlett digital interface.
Yeah, the
focus takes this
right.
analog signal and puts it into a digital thing for our computers.
And then...
Right?
Yeah, I think that sounds right. We both... I just installed this that Ryan taught me about, but we have these little... I don't even know if you can see it, but this... Yeah, it doesn't really make sense on here. But little arms that attach all our camera and our mic are attached to that are, like, attached to our desk. That's just... I don't even know. A desk mount arm.
I mean, I had so much fun looking up shit on YouTube of how to make all this stuff. How to like put it together, what to do, what da, 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 da. I found this great dude called DSLR Shooter. It's like a YouTube camera account or whatever. But he reviews all types of cameras, tells you how to make like weird little setups for whatever your job might be, which I really like. He's making it for people who are doing like online videos. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like how to use your DSLR camera in so many ways. He makes these like tiny little rolling studios. He makes like all kinds of stuff that's like a whole production case in a Pelican case so that you can take it with you anywhere and start vlogging or whatever.
Yeah, cool.
And I just love all the like creativity on like a small to medium scale. You know what I mean? Like he gets really high quality stuff out of like $5,000 or less rather than like $30,000 and a crew, you know? Which I think is very cool.
Yeah, I appreciate your enjoyment of doing that and your focus on that because I just can't focus on videos like that. They're so like technically out of my knowledge base that I like that you just send me what you got and then I feel good.
Well, I started in college wanting to be a cinematographer. So I bought like a too fancy camera back then and then it immediately became obsolete because it was digital but on tape. And then they were like, oh, let's invent HD the year after I bought my expensive camera. And it's like, oh, so this is a paperweight now. So I still have it. It's in the garage. It's a Panasonic DVX-100A. And it was a lot of fun. But yeah, it's essentially silly. So anyways, through being in school trying to become a cinematographer, I got a little bit into like gearheadiness of film stuff, you know? So I'm still into cameras and lenses and all that crap. But like, the bare minimum, you know, like just enough more than your average person, but not enough as, say, a genius like our editor-producer, Brian.
Brian Holm.
Brian Holm!
Well, that's, you know, that's what our check-in with y'all, but we'd like to open that up maybe on a regular basis in these check-ins. Just do a little what's going on the Patreon, so feel free to hop in there, comment on the episodes and the videos, have little chats if you'd like to, and we'll some of that stuff. All right, Ryan, what do we think about? What do we think about everything? I don't know. I just, you know, what do we think? How do we wrap this up in a nice, tight little package here?
Well, it's October. We're almost done with the year. I think there is a nice slowdown to these months of the year. October, November, December. Obviously, holidays get a little bit busy, but I feel like there's a little bit of an agreed upon slowdown. And summer, there's an agreed upon speed up that that smacks me in the face every year.
Yeah,
and I'm really glad that that's done. I'm really glad to feel like not bad if I'm not out enjoying things. Like when it's summertime, I'm like, I can't just sit in the house, and it's like, of course you can.
Of course you can do whatever makes you happy.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. And I hope everybody has a nice little fall coming up and a happy Halloween. And everybody catches Dan's movie, Paramount Plus. And it, of course, is called Paranormal Activity Next of Kin.
Yeah, thank you.
This guy's so good. I can't wait to see you on the big screen.
Oh, my God. The big screen on my phone. Thanks, dude. Yeah, I'm excited for it to finally happen. I'm excited that it was such a quick turnaround, and I'm excited to be like on the other side of it.
Mm-hmm. It's because it's still kind of potential energy.
It is.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you've done your work, but nobody has really seen it. Now you can just like send people the link to that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're this whole new dude who has done a full ass movie. It's so cool.
Yeah, specifically like with career stuff, it feels kind of like, not to dog anybody in these movies, but they've never been like a jumping off point for actors. That's not what they're known for. Right. So it's kind of been hard to like tell the people, the powers that be, like, hey, I'm in this Paranormal Activity movie. Like, it's mm-hmm. a reason you should like look at me. And it's like, mm-hmm. well, we don't know yet. So now it'll be like, no, really, I'm good in this.
Yes.
I am
fine. And we're busy making our own stuff. I feel like it's all coming together. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's all, and I, you know, like 2 months ago, I felt a lot of creative potential energy with like Big Grande stuff and general like life work stuff. And I feel like I've kind of like dropped off on that. So even though things are slowing down, I would like to creatively feel a little more, figure out how to get that spark back a little mm-hmm. bit, because that makes me so much happier in the rest of my life when I feel like there's something around the corner I'm excited about. Like, right. I don't know if you felt that making that short. But there's like,
totally.
It bleeds into the rest of your life a little bit of like, I'm a person who makes things instead of like, I'm a person who waits for things.
Right. Right. That's very true. Very true. Well, Dan, it's lovely to check in with you as always. And to our listeners, to our patrons, to our friends out there, we really appreciate you. Thank you for being here for the check-in. Thank you for checking in on us. And I'd say we're doing just fine.
We're doing just fine. We hope you are too.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.
Catch you on the flip.